The failed Sunlight General solar project, ironically, has had many elements kept in the dark by a collection of public officials. While explanations have been offered behind closed doors to the few, the many taxpayers who are now on the hook for millions of dollars haven't been allowed to learn the full story about all this. My first guest this week recently reported on a rather interesting new element to this growing disaster, which calls into question whether funds for the project were used illegally, even after questions were raised about those in decision-making seats. Here with the details in New Jersey Herald is Eric Gobernauer. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Chris.
And, of course, it's njherald.com for this story. And the Herald's really been cracking down the brick wall that Board of Freeholders and others, no, not all the Board of Freeholders, but some have been trying to construct to block some of this information from being revealed to the public. And what was it that you were able to discover about how money is used? Reading your article, it's like, much like what we see in Trenton, when money is put into the budget for a dedicated fund, the game used to be down in Trenton, well, we're going to move this money over to the general fund and it gets used for everything. That sounds a lot like what happened here with some of the solar initiative money.
Well, it seems that this project ran into problems almost from the very beginning, because the financial model it was constructed on was, I think, an objective reading of it could be that it was flawed. It seemed that they used this money as a sort of, or allowed it to be used as a sort of piggy bank by the other entities that were involved to pay lawyers, to pay down the debt service, and the county officials from these minutes that we received from last September clearly were aware of this for some time. This was not something they just found out about a few months back prior to the settlement. It seems that they were hoping to somehow resuscitate this thing and hoping that somehow they could put it all back together, make it work somehow, hopefully recoup some of the revenue that they otherwise would have lost, and somehow, if not make money on it, at least minimize their losses, paper it over, and no one would be any more the wiser for it. That didn't work, obviously.
No, I guess hoping for a swift recovery, although, as you said, it wasn't just one warning. You had everyone from, I guess, soon-to-be former County Minister John Eskelson, former County Treasurer Bernie Reed. It seems like it was anything negative to keep this deal afloat or the recovery afloat just seemed to fall on deaf ears.
Well, I mean, that's true. And to me, what I find stunning is that, well, first of all, I find it stunning that it was actually in the minutes, because usually most governing bodies don't reveal very much in their closed session minutes. These actually revealed a lot, which itself, I mean, one can speculate as to why that is. Was there somebody on the inside who actually wanted this information to come out? But
do they just not appreciate the seriousness of this?
Well, we don't know. I mean, I think there are some who still, candidly believe that they truly did the right thing, the best thing, based on the information available to them at the time, that somehow this still could be made to work. But the more the public learns about this, I think the more the public is beginning to conclude that there were just too many people, if not somehow facilitating what was going on, were asleep at the switch.
And we're not just talking about a drop in the bucket either. An additional $1.4 million went to pay Sunlight's lawyers. I mean,
right.
This is out of $28 million. That's a sizable piece of that pizza pie.
And just so we're clear, by the way, that $1.4 million, that's not the only money that went to pay lawyers.
No.
The county had consultants and lawyers and others doing work on this. So that's just for Sunlight's lawyers. In other words, Sussex County taxpayers, in effect, were footing the bill for this private entity who was an investor, or supposed to be an investor in this project, footing the bills for them to wage a private legal fight with their subcontractor.
And it was Freeholder Gail Phoebus who threw a FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, which she had to sue to have it obeyed, got a series of documents just to show you the frequency of lawyer meetings and consultations, although it was heavily redacted. But just the sheer count of the items listed and the meetings listed on those documents, which we have a copy over at our website, by the way, just shows you just the potential money that's just the legal element of all this is racking up the taxpayers. Never mind the it just calls into greater question, doesn't it, Eric? How, if so much money is being spent on other elements other than the actual construction, how can this construction ever be a success?
Well, certainly it needs to be said. I mean, Freeholder Phoebus, from at least as best we can tell, from but really before anyone else, was asking questions about this and asking questions about things that just didn't make sense, and has really, I mean, despite the results of yesterday's primary, has really taken a lot of heat for it from people who felt that she was out of line, that she was stirring up trouble where none existed. I think one of the big questions here is, I mean, given all that you and I have just discussed right now, given what we know, given again what was reported in the Herald on Sunday, what I reported about what county officials knew, why would anyone just want to paper it over and say, okay, well, you know, we'll just let bygones be bygones? I mean, certainly any rational person usually who felt that they were, if they were steered wrong by a financial advisor who was not merely giving them bad advice, but knew that the advice was bad, wouldn't you want to at least reserve the right to have them make restitution? Or if a doctor or a lawyer or any professional gave you what was really bad advice or tainted advice, wouldn't you? I mean, and again, there's a lot we don't know here, so we can't say for certain that any of this happened, but there's just so many questions here. Why would you rush to conclude a settlement that would preclude you from possibly being able to recover damages?
All right, with Eric Obernauer from the New Jersey Herald, his article from May 31st, Solar Project Payments May Have Skirted Federal Law. And you can look at find it in the New Jersey Herald archives at njherald.com on the web. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Maybe this is my reading something into something that's not there, but that whole harmless clause bothered me, because if there's this butting of heads where if someone does something wrong and I'm in a position to make sure something gets done right, why am I doing something friendly to that person who just done me wrong with that hold harmless clause?
Good question.
That's context clues, superficial, whatever the case may be. That's just one of the elements that makes you think is there a little overextension of being friendly than what is called for given the circumstances?
Well, it wasn't only a matter of even being friendly, but keep in mind the week before this settlement in Sussex County, of course there were two other counties involved, but before Sussex County's portion of the settlement was concluded, the Freeholders had a closed-door meeting for over 4 hours. They had one of the representatives from Gable Associates, which was the energy consultant who provided them all kinds of financial projections that said that this was going to be a great thing, a moneymaker for the county. County Administrator John Eskelson in 2011 actually at a public meeting said that this was going to save the county $13.8 million, and he said at the time that was a conservative estimate. So they had a representative of Gable Associates in the closed-door meeting with them. So not only were the Freeholders willing to let bygones be bygones, they had one of the parties that they relied on actually in the meeting advising them on how to conclude this settlement that would hold his firm, among others, harmless from having to make restitution or be held accountable.
Now you mentioned too how the public is not all knowing of all this information in this situation, but you know, whose fault is that when you have Phil Crabb and Rich Voden seem to be intent on keeping any discussions about this behind closed doors? And even those town mayors, like Patcong, for example, I think Andover mayor, after they had took advantage of the behind closed doors meetings, publicly came out very unsatisfied with what they heard behind those closed doors.
Right.
I mean, not divulging details, because whatever reason, everyone wants confidentiality, and what stays behind closed doors stays behind closed doors. But that's not a path to a solution on this.
Well, first of all, the settlement has been concluded. So normally once the settlement has been concluded, once the basis, the reason for the closed-door discussions no longer exists, there shouldn't be a reason to keep any of that under wraps anymore. Having said that, freeholder voting was early on was dismissive, derided the idea that there was a need for any kind of independent investigation into this. Well, his position on this is now the position that Freeholder Phoebus had early on. So he has adopted her position and said that we need an investigation into this, even though he is also saying that all this investigation is just political theater. I think that one thing that many people on both sides of this, frankly, may have believed is that this was just all political, that it's just the primary season, and you see this sort of thing every year. We'll know for sure in the next few months if that's the case, but I think that I feel very confident that that's not the case, that we're going to learn more, and this issue is not going to go away.
No, I mean, if you've got the attention of the U.S. Justice Department and the FBI, they're not here. They don't spend their day just to spin their wheels in the mud. If they sense something is worth their time and trouble, they're going to take a look at it, and there are several confirmation reports that they are indeed now taking a look at this situation.
Yes, I've received those reports, and from a number of people, who've obviously asked not to have their names revealed. Freeholder Phoebus and Assemblyman Parker Space have gone on record saying that they've met with federal officials, but I could tell you there are others with whom I've spoken who've asked that their names be kept out of this, but who've definitely confirmed those reports.
And I also have a feeling there are going to be names that are going to be popping up that you can connect the dots with, and there are some power brokers that have recognizable names who I think by the time this is all said and done are going to have a lot more than just answers being required of them. Might be a little time in a federal facility in some way, shape, or form, but that's just my conjecture at this point, and we'll see what happens. Following with the story, and there is a lot more to come, New Jersey Herald has been the go-to place for getting into the facts of the matter and the truth in the situation, calling the right people on the carpet who still, after all this time, are required to give answers and at this point still refusing to. NJHerald.com. Eric Goldbernauer, thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you.